In the name and spirit of Jesus the Christ, grace and peace to the gathered, beloved community, including those who gather online. I'm Pastor Mark McCormick, and this service originates from the sanctuary of the Mayflower Congregational Church in Lansing, Michigan. I'm joined today by our worship team, our production engineer, the Mayflower Chancel Choir and liturgist Sue Kohler, Marjorie Briggs, and Pastor Rachel Garris. Today is a busy day here at Mayflower, and that usually means a good day. Our special guest today is Alice Brinkman, who is the president of the Luton School, PTSA, which, correct me if I'm wrong, Alice, is Parent Teacher School Association, is that right? Students. Parent Teacher Students Association. When we were kids, we just called it PTA, I think. It's gone through evolution. So she is going to share some of the things going on at the school during our coffee hour. She comes now to offer a brief greeting to our congregation.
Good morning, everyone. Good Thank morning. You. Oh, that's so wonderful. I am honored to be here this morning as a community member next door at Luton Schools. We do include our students instead of just the traditional PTA because we have middle schoolers now. It used to be that Luton was simply the elementary school, but we now have 6th, 7th, and 8th grade students. Sadly, our school will be being torn down in August, but we will be back. The new school will be being built over the next 3 years. And so, even if you see the building no longer there, our presence will still be in the community and we will be back. So thank you for partnering with us and our students and staff, and we sincerely appreciate it.
So I just want to make sure I get this correct. Is the three-year span including 1 year of demolition, or will it take actually 3 years to build that building?
The demo actually will happen very quickly in August.
Okay. Okay, some of you have noticed the school that was previous on that list. I think it was New Hope down the street here, right?
Yes, that's almost done.
That is almost complete. Okay. So as we've said before, the students will be at the Montessori school where? Woodbury, is that right? Does that sound right? Something like that. Okay. All right. We'll hear more about that. If you can stay, you'll hear more from Alice as she shares a little more. And then, if any of you would like to come and participate, our church is hosting a game night which involves parents, teachers, and students here on Tuesday night, and is the time 6 o'clock. 6 to 7:30. So if you'd like to come and be a part of it, I bet you can even get a slice of pizza. I'll be there. Did you hear how people laugh when I said, I'll be there to get some pizza, Alice? Oh, boy. It's okay. We all carry our reputations with us. So I'll tell my wife, just one slice. Will that be okay? That's the $64 question. Tom Hacker, our Mayflower moderator, comes now for a very special announcement.
In accordance with the statutes of the state of Michigan and the Mayflower Congregational Church bylaws, I hereby announce special congregational meeting to be held today at noon. It will follow a presentation by the Luton School Parent Teacher Association President Alice Brinkman. Purpose of the meeting will be the following. Number one, an update on the status of the building project. Number two, a vote on the cost of living pay increases for our salaried employees. And number three, approval of the ordination request by Marguerite Briggs. Thank you very much.
All right, that'll happen right around noon, and it will be in our Friendship Center rather than being here in the sanctuary. So hope as many of you as you can stay for that, and you don't have to be a member to be a part of that and to listen in. Today is Communion Sunday, as you can see. Remember, we celebrate open communion always here at Mayflower, and all are invited to the Lord's table. If you are a visitor, please read our worship protocol and mission statement that you'll find in the bulletin, and a reminder that we do not pass offering plates as we consider your presence a gift to us and a gift to God. But if you have come prepared or would like to contribute financially, there are receptacles at each entrance to the sanctuary. Our worship theme today is resurrection and rehabilitation. Just like Peter, we all need to enter rehabilitation even as we come to church each week. At least that's true for me. Let us now worship God.
Good morning, Mayflower.
Good morning.
While it might take some time for warmer temperatures to set in for good here in Michigan, we welcome all of you today with warm hearts. Thank you for coming. As you have heard, today is the third Sunday of Easter. Pastor Mark will be exploring another post-resurrection appearance of Jesus when he encounters several disciples who have seemingly gone back to their familiar occupation of fishing. They were surprised when Jesus showed up. Sometimes during periods of grief, loss, or uncertainty, Jesus makes a surprise appearance in our lives too. The heartwarming aspect of Jesus' surprise visits is that there is no judgment or guilt. Rather, there is love and forbearance, motivating us to accept the mission we have all been called to do. While we may not be surprised to find our Lord in a worship service, let us be prepared to accept and respond to Christ's continuing mission of love and service in the name of Christ. Thanks be to God.
Will you go where
Let us pray. Eternal God and our gracious Lord, we have entered into your sanctuary, a safe place where we seek peace, acceptance, and love. May we find all those things and more as we open our hearts and minds to find that same Jesus who stood beside the lake shore with the disciples. Visit us today, O Lord, as we unite our hearts together through song, prayer, the spoken word, fellowship, and at the table of our Lord. Give us ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts to receive, and minds to reflect on God's gracious call to love the unlovely, serve the needy, visit the sick, befriend the lonely, and speak up for the forgotten, neglected, oppressed, and discouraged. This we pray in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Many of you are aware of the personal crisis that has surrounded our family in these last few months, and particularly in the last few days. And it has come to the point today, as many of you know, and as many of you saw in the email last night, my stepson and Andy's dear son, or Deanne's dear son, Andy, is on schedule today to receive his double lung transplant at 3 o'clock this afternoon in Inova Hospital in Fairfax, Virginia. And we have been in touch with organizations in Michigan that are connected to organizations around the country. And the Michigan organization is called The Gift of Life. And the amazing thing about this is that someone is offering a gift. A grieving family is giving a gift of two lungs to Andy today. There's mystery in that, but even as we think about gathering around the table today and think about the gift that has been given to us because someone whose name was Jesus died, I can't help but make that connection. That is the cornerstone of our faith, that we may live. So may we remember that gift, God's wonderful gift to us now, as we offer our time, our talents, our treasures, indeed our very selves to God in this holy moment of worship. Thanks be to God.
Please pray with me, church. God of new beginnings, we thank you for this day, for the gift of gathering, for the peace of this sacred space, and for the grace that meets us exactly where we are. As the risen Christ met his disciples on the shoreline, meeting their hunger with abundance and their guilt with grace, so meet us today, O Lord. Feed our spirits, restore our hearts, and call us once again to love and serve in your name. We are especially mindful today of the privilege of walking alongside those who say yes to your calling. As we consider the ordination of one of our own, Marjorie, we thank you for the faithfulness that has led to this moment. Bless this servant with courage, humility, and joy in the journey ahead. May our whole community be strengthened as we witness this step of faith. We also welcome with gratitude our guest speaker from our neighboring Luton School. We give thanks for the ways our schools shape minds, nurture hearts, and build the future. Bless educators, students, families, and volunteers, especially in our neighboring schools, that they may be supported, protected, and encouraged. God, our nation and our world cry out for peace, justice, and for healing. Where there is division, sow unity. Where there is despair, bring hope. And where there is apathy, awaken in us a passion to love our neighbors and to feed your sheep in real, tangible ways. We pray today for all those on our prayer list, including Andy, as printed in the bulletin. And for those who are in our hearts today, please grant peace, comfort, and healing to those whose names we lift up to you now. Father, you give us so much, and with you, we are never alone. You have gifted us this beloved community, and through your Holy Spirit, we constantly have access to you. May we never take that for granted. Let's join our voices now in praying the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Today's scripture reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 21, verses 1 through 19. When reading the Gospel of John, it appears to end with the 20th chapter. We don't know when the 21st chapter was added as an addendum, but as we know, there are always addendums in our journeys of faith. We also know addendums can turn into something far more. Hear now these words. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the Twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord, may the words of this mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our rock. Amen. While a sermon is not specifically a Bible study, I am, as most of you know, a lectionary preacher, which offers a virtually unlimited treasure trove of scriptures in each of three complete year-long cycles. The next lectionary follows the church year, beginning in Advent, continuing through Christmas, Epiphany, Lent, Holy Week, Easter, which is the season we are in now, Pentecost, which will be June 8th, and then the many Sundays after Pentecost, with a few special observances thrown in. Each Sunday, the preacher is offered at least four choices of scripture, usually from either the Old Testament, the Psalms, New Testament, and the Gospel. And if you folks were up for an hour and a half every week, we'd read all four of them, but we've decided against that. Sometimes our attention spans do very well with just one. But this affords the congregation the opportunity to be exposed to a broad cross-section of Scripture over time. For those of you who have been with me for these last few years, I hope your understanding of Scripture has increased. And if so, all the better. In walking through a scriptural journey each week, I learn as I go, and I simply desire to take you along with me on this amazing journey. In helping you understand a little bit of what I encounter every week in preparation for a sermon, I would like you to do something that, as far as I know, I've never asked before. Are you ready for this? I didn't get a complete yes on that, but there are always surprises. Well, I'll see what kind of response I get. I would like you to retrieve a pew Bible from the rack in front of you. They're black. Okay? I'm going to make this easy on you, folks. When I was a kid in our tradition, we had sword drills. How many of you have ever remember sword drills? Oh, Alice, you remember those sword drills. And, of course, I wasn't a bad Bible student, but I always lost out to a couple of those girls that seemingly had the whole Bible memorized. So, making this easy, I want you to turn to the New Testament page of 88. Thanks, Lorraine, for helping me out here. I didn't have a pew Bible at home, and Lorraine bailed me out last night. It is page number 88. They never gave us the page numbers in sword drills, did they, Alice? Okay, so without making any light of any other tradition, we are going to be Bible Baptist this morning for just a little bit. And do you see John chapter 20? And do you see verses 30 and 31? Okay, those are the verses that I'm going to read. And I want to read them when you are listening as if you've never heard a word of Scripture before, but as if you were reading a book. And then I'm going to ask a question at the end. So here are the words of those two verses. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. Period. What does that sound like to you in literary terms? It sounds like what? Anybody want to venture a guess? No wrong answers here. It sounds like the conclusion to a book. And guess what? It is the conclusion to the Gospel of John, because what we do know is the 21st chapter was added later. So you're right, Nate, my resident Bible scholar. You must have won some sword drills along the line. So chapter 21, we just don't know when it was added or who added it. And it doesn't matter unless I decide to teach a class on the origins of Scripture. And this morning I will not do that, although I have to tell you I would like to do that sometime. The addendum to the Gospel of John depicts Jesus showing up unexpectedly on the shore of Galilee when seven of his disciples were present. We don't know where the others were. There were 11 at that time. In reality, the scriptures are chocked full of addendums, anecdotes, stories, parables, allegories, and perspectives concerning our relationship to God or with God. There is much mystery surrounding the appearances of Jesus following the resurrection, including the one that was read today. The first is the difficulty that some people who knew Jesus very well did not recognize him. Mary Magdalene was at the tomb, and even though she's not listed as one of the 12, she was a very close disciple and did not recognize Jesus immediately following the resurrection. Some of you may remember reading in the last chapter of the Gospel of Luke, the two disciples who knew Jesus were walking along the road with him on Easter evening, and they walked for quite a while, maybe as far as 7 miles, and they did not recognize Jesus. And then Thomas said, "I don't think that is Jesus unless I can see the wounds in his hands and feet." And here, when the disciples were fishing through the night, at daylight, assuming there was enough light to recognize Jesus, they did not at first recognize him. And there is the question related to his physical presence and seemingly ghostly abilities. He walked through locked doors and told Mary Magdalene not to touch him, yet his wounds were real and visible. When reading all four gospel accounts, there is also confusion about how and when the events occurred in Jerusalem and Galilee, some question as to how the back and forth went. It is much like our lives. We move through the eras and seasons of our lives, whether in church or out, in the wilderness or on the mountaintop, in the darkness or in the light, in tragedy or in triumph, in joy or in sorrow, in plenty or want, with doubt or certainty, or with bold faith or withering hope. We do not always recognize Jesus when he shows up, what he wants us to do, and where he wants us to go. Peter is exhibit A in what I would call spiritual rehab. How many have ever, under any circumstance, been to physical rehab? Okay, I would say the vast majority of us here, me included. Peter is almost always depicted as leader of the small band. However, from the time of his denial, you remember the story around another charcoal fire when Peter denied the Lord 3 times after he said he would never do that. Until this moment, Peter has been strangely silent. And the time lapse is probably only about a week or so, the same time lapse between our Sunday gatherings. That may say something about the regular need for spiritual rehabilitation for all of us. Every week, when I mentioned that to somebody this morning, they said, "How about every day?" And that's a good point. Spiritual rehab. It is needed often and regularly. It is easy to go on emotional overload, whether we have gotten the news of a grim diagnosis, or when the spouse of a loved one has walked out of a marriage, when a child succumbs to an eating disorder, or someone having lost the love of their lives. We seek comfort almost mindlessly in a variety of familiar activities, by reaching into the cookie jar or the candy bar vending machines. When I stop at rest areas in my travels, I always have to look the other way when I see those candy bars there. And part of the reason I look the other way is that they're so expensive. Or watching late night television crime shows. Have you seen Forensic Files? Anybody watch that? I have to admit, sometimes If I'm restless at night, I will tune in to the latest episode. Or some people immerse themselves in work, or unfortunately turn to alcohol or drugs. We bring ourselves into church having watched news cycles that happen with light speed. We hear bad news from all over the world, near and far. We witness the chaos of dramatic changes being made from the highest offices of our land as we see the world changing dramatically. And many of us, perhaps most of us, are not happy about it. We see the valued and cherished ideals of our faith, that of diversity, equity, and inclusion, being flippantly tossed away. We see prices going up when many thought they would be coming down. In a very personal sense, we communicate with our family members in person or on the phone, and their problems all of a sudden become our problems. Some come to church because of loneliness or the isolation of old age. Others come because you've always come and you wouldn't think of doing anything else on a Sunday morning. A few of us collect a paycheck, which is certainly a compelling reason to show up. A few others are here because they're invited guests, like Alice and the little big guy that's with her. Yeah. Theo? Yeah. That's good to know. Theo, it's so good to have you today. Yeah, a good-looking kid. Others have regular roles as volunteers, and we have some of the most faithful volunteers that you can imagine here at Mayflower. There is no wrong reason to show up, church. We'll take you for whatever reason you come, unless, of course, you intend harm, God forbid. But we all bring the latest events and trials of our lives into the middle of the beloved community. Here we are. We bring our stories. In this summer, following many of our worship services in the Friendship Center, we are going to hear more of your stories, and perhaps one or two of mine. For the disciples, their experiences of the last week has been nothing short of overwhelming. The tension-filled, emotional high of their entrance into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday was followed by extraordinary events in the temple, an amazing Passover meal, an intense experience in the Garden of Gethsemane, a betrayal by one of them, an armed arrest, a series of denials, a mock trial, a jeering mob, and a bloody execution. In the hours following Jesus' death, the disciples would have been crushed and felt numb. The human spirit, after all, can only take so much. Then there came the mystery of the empty tomb and resurrection appearances that had to be seen to believe, to be believed. While any of our experiences might pale in comparison to theirs, the disciples needed some time to assimilate all that they had witnessed and experienced. And Jesus met them exactly where they were and with what they needed. He was calm, reassuring, helpful, non-judgmental, and forgiving. He didn't complain about all the violent brutality he had suffered. He didn't brag about his resurrection. He didn't chide them for running away, denying him, or failing to recognize him. He didn't blame Judas. He was pastoral, a pristine example and template for anyone called to be a pastor to emulate. I try my best. But sometimes this happens in the reverse, where the beloved community become the pastor. Such has been the case in the last few months for Deanne, as she comes now to update the situation that many of you, perhaps all of you, have wanted to know and recount all the pastoral love and care that you have shown to both Deanne and me during this time.
Good morning. I'm here to tell you how you have ministered to me and to Mark and to my entire family. you are the ministers. You hire this man to be your pastor. You hire me to play the piano. But you are the ministers, and we have needed you, and you have shown to us the beauty of the beloved community. I want to give you just a few examples. Many of you, some of you know Cassandra Herrick. You know Ruth Posh, of course, and you know Rachel, and this is their family. Trevor is the grandson of Ruth, and his companion is Cassandra Herrick. She's been here. They have joined our church and become a member. Unfortunately, she said she couldn't be here today. She wanted to be here. Her brother had a terrible accident this week, and he was working in construction in the St. John's area and was suffered a terrible accident, a head injury, and was taken to a Sparrow Hospital where it was determined he would not survive. And the Gift of Life said to the family, is there anyone you know of that needs any organs? And she said, yes, Andy. Why did she know about Andy? It's because Lorraine has so beautifully put in the e-notes and announced whatever in the bulletin of the needs that we have in this congregation. And so immediately she said, Andy. So there was an effort, a strong effort, to be able to have her, this wonderful, Brandon Mesh is Cassandra's brother's name. And they made a great effort to be able to use his lungs for my son. And let me tell you, when it's my own son, and he needs lungs, and I think of the sacrifice that someone has to make to give Andy those lungs today. And I just can't tell you how much Cassandra ministered to me. I just can't even tell you. Then there's Marilyn Wenger. She sent me, Marilyn, there you are. She said, I have to talk to you, I have to talk to you, I have to talk to you. She gave me a little sheet of paper. She said, you need to call this person. She said, she's a friend of mine, and you need to talk to her. She knows about double lung transplants. So I said, okay, I'll do that. I'll do that. And I did. And come to find out, this woman she and her husband live in East Lansing. Her occupation was ice skating. And she competed, and I don't know, for all I know, she went to the Olympics. I don't know. But she said that her husband, they were vacationing in Mexico. And she said, my husband 3 years ago had a double lung transplant. And she said, let me tell you. She said, I'm a type A person. I'm going to tell you everything you need to know. And so she did. And she talked from Mexico this week. She talked to me for about 45 minutes and gave me so much information. But she says, I have to tell you, she said, we're sitting here looking at the ocean, enjoying the beautiful Mexico and the beautiful area. And she said, and my husband is doing wonderfully. And that gave me so much confidence and so much hope. And then there's Sue Baldwin. Okay, she has a nephew, and she sent me a picture. And I'm thinking, what is this picture of? And then I read on the text, this is her nephew that had a double lung transplant. And he was sitting there in the restaurant, smiling and laughing. And I immediately sent it to Andy. There it is, right there. The hope, Sue, that gave me. It was such a beautiful minister, and you ministered to me. And then there's Barb. Last night, I get a text from her. She said, maybe you should just set this one out, and I'll go ahead and play the piano, do what needs to be done up there. And so thank you, Barb, because that was very thoughtful, very kind. And those are just some of the ways that some of you have ministered. You all have ministered. You are the ministry of this church. And you are the beloved community. And Jesus, one of the last things he said to his disciples before he left, love one another. Thank you for living that out.
It's a special moment, so I think we're going to have a little prayer here before we join around the table. So what I would like those of you who are able and comfortable with, if you could just stand up and take the hands of someone else. If there's anybody in the choir that wants to join in with Barb and Deanne, feel free to do that. I'll try to make it through this. Lord, you've told us that the greatest commandment on which everything else hangs is that we are to love God and love our neighbor as ourselves. And Deanne and I especially thank God for this beloved community who has taken that command so seriously that now in our time of need has been fulfilled. Your love has been expressed so magnificently by every person gathered here, along with many others who, for whatever reason, cannot be here today. So we join our hearts in that spirit of love and hope and prayer and healing. And we pray for Andy as he faces the biggest test of his life. Thank you for his courage, his spirit, and all that he does for humanity, sharing the gifts that he has to help those who need help so desperately. Help us to all think of ourselves, O Lord, as desperately needing people, needy people, as those who have loved us and who we love is the only way that we find fulfillment in your command. So we ask once again you would be with dear Andy and all the family members. And in our prayers, Lord, we pray that in your mercy you would hear our prayers. Amen. You may be seated.
Forgiving God.
Oh, hang on one second. Marge, I just about ready to say something here. Okay. All of you know Rachel, who is our pastoral intern, and now you have been getting to know Marjorie, who is our ordination candidate, which you will officially vote on a little bit later, and whose service of Vicinage Council and ordination will occur on the 8th of June on Pentecost Sunday. So, as always, I am a wonderfully blessed minister to have so many, these two and others sitting in the pew. In fact, all of you, I am very blessed. So Marjorie, thanks for joining me here today. You'll be seeing more of her in these roles. And Rachel, your pastoral prayer meant the absolute world to all of us today, and especially to Deanne and to me. So, our communion ritual you have in your bulletin. Let us now share together.
Forgiving God, we come to this table
knowing that we often fall short of all that you desire for us. Sometimes we fail both as individuals and as a community of faith. We seek your mercy and grace as we ask you for forgiveness and renewal, that we may better follow you in the name of your Son. Amen.
We have this assurance that no matter how far we wander or how far away we feel from God, we will never move outside the boundaries of God's gracious love for us. We are loved, we are forgiven, we are blessed. We celebrate open communion here at Mayflower, in the tradition of our beloved teacher who welcomed all to the supper, even those who betrayed him or ran away in fear.
It is right and a good and joyful thing to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
We'll ask our servers to come forward at this time. Hear now the words of invitation. We welcome you to this table, whether you are a member of this church, another church, or no church. All you need is faith or even a desire for faith. This is the time when we all acknowledge our past failures, sins, and disappointments, and present ourselves to God who offers us love, forgiveness, and wholeness. Remember, God accepts us just where we are, and who we are at this very moment in our lives. And as our servers serve, we'll ask everyone to hold the elements until all are served, and then we will eat together.
on the night when he was betrayed, as Jesus sat at supper with his disciples, he took the bread, blessed it, and broke it, and said to them, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
Let us now eat together.
After supper, Jesus took the cup, gave thanks, and blessed it, saying, "This is the cup of the New Testament in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again."
Let us now drink together. Now let's share together our great prayer of thanksgiving. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us with this memorial of your love and have granted to us the presence of your Son, even Jesus Christ our Lord. And we ask you to strengthen our faith in you and to increase our love toward one another through him, our Redeemer. Amen. Now, just remember, as Jesus told Peter, to do as you have done, and as we all intend to do, to feed the sheep and tend the lambs. Amen. Thank you to our servers. And thank you, Marjorie and Rachel.
Spoken my name.
Alice, maybe some of the kids and parents across the street would have been reading the other line in Spanish, correct? All right. And Rachel is a Spanish teacher at East Lansing High School, just a connection to be made. And I have intentionally stayed by my phone this morning from Brother Aaron, that's Andy's brother, just met with Dr. Isle. You know how to pronounce that, Deanne? Oh, well, there's another guy in there right now. Okay, Dr. Tang is the one that's going to do the surgery, but transplant is a go so far, and the medical team feels confident it's going to be a good fit for Andy. Doctor says they feel very confident with the donor. All we're able to know about the donor is a male in his 30s, no hepatitis C, minimal to none to no smoking, 5'10", located fairly close in Virginia. Andy slept well, is in good spirits. As long as all goes well, he may be taken off the ventilator as early as tomorrow. And he goes in at 3 o'clock today. It won't take him in until 3 o'clock, so it may be midnight. We'll all stand as you have been with us. But there are many other prayer requests, and I want you to know as a pastor, I do my best to remember other prayer requests that are represented here this morning. So with that, with joy in our hearts, and certainly with an anticipation of not knowing what the future may hold, but we, with hope, ask God to give us peace. May it be so with all of us. Amen. Is that on?
Yes.
Okay, it is. There we go. I didn't know what button to push there. Thank you, Kim, for all your help. Whooey, I'm kind of a basket case. But when it comes to the Spirit of God, we're all basket cases. We just need to be baskets to let it fill up. Yeah. And as Deanne said this morning, you have filled ours to overflowing. May it be continue as we share with Alice. What a beautiful person. And you're with your son, Theo, with you today. Go back and have a little time. Alice eats a little bit of breaking bread together, and then we'll have our congregational meeting. God bless you all, and go in peace.